GM und herzlich willkommen zu Episode 28 von Kryptoticker, der Podcast. In dieser Folge wird es politisch. Wir streiten uns allerdings nicht über Politik, sondern wir haben mit Sean Donohoe jemanden zu Gast, der über lange Jahre in der akademischen Forschung sowie als Berater in der Politik aktiv war. Dabei hat er einiges gelernt, wie Politik funktioniert, was sich die Kryptobranche gegebenenfalls von der Lobbyarbeit der Marihuana-Befürworter in den USA abschauen kann, wie er Mika sieht und vieles mehr. Bevor wir starten, hier nochmal der Hinweis, dass wir uns natürlich sehr über eure Bewertungen freuen. Außerdem gibt es den wöchentlichen Newsletter zum Podcast sowie unsere Beiträge auf Social Media. Also schaut mal rein und lasst ein Like da. Und jetzt viel Spaß mit Episode 28 und Sean Donohoe.
Pleasure having you here, Sean. Thank you for being with me.
Thanks. Nice to meet you too.
So we're at Blockchains. We just actually met. Maybe you can just introduce yourself. What do you do? What's your thing? Where do you come from?
Yes, I'm coming from Oakland, California. Although that's where my mail gets delivered. However, I've traveled quite a lot in the last couple of years. Of course, post pandemic and post lockdown, I think a lot of people have felt the urge to travel, and so I've been visiting here in Germany maybe four times in the last year and a half.
Okay. And what do you do for, let's say, a living? Because, I mean, there must be a reason why you're here at Blockchains.
Exactly. Myself and a group of partners are looking very much into leading industries in the field of renewable energy, as well as regenerative agriculture, looking at crossovers with distributed ledger technologies, Web3, Blockchains, cryptocurrencies, whatever you want to call it. And we believe that there's a lot of applicability. And what's amazing also being here at Blockchains is I think I'm having those hunches validated by seeing a lot of interesting business innovators as well.
Okay, and you said you've been in Germany for some other occasions as well beforehand, right? Was that also related to what you do, let's say, for a living?
Well, I also quite like visiting Berlin for the lifestyle, and I like visiting Frankfurt in the summertime to go sit out in the gardens and enjoy its Apfelwein. However, I had a chance to meet interesting gentlemen last September. I was attending Berlin Blockchain Week, and it was so amazing because of the diversity of side events. And I was just having a small little conversation with the gentleman that I met. We were fighting over the last beer in the refrigerator, and we felt the need to introduce ourselves. And he invited me to Blockchains, and so I've been scheduling it into my travel itinerary for the last year or so. However, I was in Berlin over the last week attending a different event.
Ah, okay, perfect. Let's talk about your company. It's called Sungrown, right?
Yes.
And when did you found it? What is it all about?
Well, it's in the process of founding, and that is not our only entity.
Okay.
We've got a variety of different fit-for-purpose entities. I am based in California. However, we also have some overlap with some of our other business partners in the state of Hawaii. And I also quite like some of the other common agricultural as well as more beneficial, frankly, legislative frameworks in other states. So as I said, we're targeting both the fields of renewable energy as well as regenerative agriculture, which means, of course, much more progressive and decentralized agricultural activities. We do focus on higher margin crops such as turmeric and ginger and other sort of unique beneficial crops.
What do you mean if you say decentralized agricultural?
Well, there's great examples in the world that actually I believe that the cryptocurrency and the crypto industry could actually learn from regarding the cooperative model. It seems that we've got this hunch, I'd say we of the crypto industry, to only use, for instance, DAO LLCs. And although those are very functional, or the Verein structure in Switzerland, we actually have a very familiar model that's been around for over 100 years regarding cooperatives. And cooperatives are very interesting. Rather than defining ownership in terms of ownership of a token and one token, one vote, ownership is reflected according to participation and participation within a network. And there's very clear, not only tax, but other sort of jurisdictional structures, bylaws and so forth, as well as precedent to allow for cooperatives. And a lot of cooperatives happen to be agricultural cooperatives.
How does a cooperative work in that area then? I mean, I cannot really properly imagine, and how does it actually work, and how do you see how that could potentially be reflected in the crypto space?
There's a very cool white paper actually that I was not an author, but I found it beneficial and I've shared it around a little bit. The law firm Ulrich I know them from some of the San Francisco offices. However, I believe they also have some German offices as well. So Ulrich and KPMG came up with a rather interesting white paper that they released, and I'll send you the link, and maybe we could
I can also put it in the show notes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so one of the nice structures of the cooperative model is that there is both, at least I'm most familiar, of course, the United States legal precedent is a definition between patron members and non-patron members, with patron members being contributors and non-patron members being more investors. So with two classes of shares with different defined benefits. And according towards your participation within that network, you're earning a remuneration due back to you. The more business you do within the network, the more you receive as a proceeds. So these are not nonprofits. These are for-profits, almost as a for-profit pass-through collective wrapper.
Okay, understood. We were talking earlier before when we just got introduced to each other, we were talking also about the cannabis laws and the regulation about that.
Yes, yes.
And you basically told me that you have a lot of experience as an advisor, not necessarily as a legal advisor, but also in a legal framework, maybe.
I've seen some stuff. I've seen some stuff and been some places and in some back rooms over the years.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And you said that the regulatory topics could be something where also the crypto industry could learn from the, let's say, marijuana or cannabis industry, how that was developed basically and how the legislations got influenced by, I don't know, either businesses or something.
Yeah, yes. So my background previously was academia, and I was in I lived abroad as well as involved in international relations academia. And then for a number of years, I was involved in political campaign consulting. And that brought me into the cannabis industry, where I was involved both on both sides, on the labor union strategy building side over 10 years ago, as well as on creating the first trade association in California. And when we created the first trade association in California, we went up to our state capitol and we met the other lobbyists, and they said, "What took you guys so long? There was always a parking spot waiting for you. All you had to do was come up and claim it." And so what we also found was it was at that time, it was very similar. It was a very small, nascent industry that was going to be massive one day and occupy the whole world. But at that time, it was still small enough. You know, I went to my first industry conference, and there were 700 people. We fit all in one room. I mean, the same industry conference now meets, and there's 47,000 people. So I've seen that sort of growth curve. Additional other parallels that I've seen is, you know, we start with a relatively blank canvas upon which to write and, you know, manifest our dreams. And we also started with regulatory uncertainty. And we also started with, you know, then the venture capital money comes, the cool swag, the cool parties, the rug pulls, the interpersonal drama. We've seen many, many, many similar characteristics. The difference, of course, in the cannabis industry, it's sort of table stakes to have legal liability wrappers, to have tax optimization, as well as have corporate veil quite often. And I see too often degens that I meet in the crypto community, and they don't think about these things, and it freaks me out.
Yeah, I get that it freaks you out. But I mean, there has to be players on all sides, right? You have to have people that are just there for, let's say, for the fun. And I'm not saying that this is the right approach, but there have to be, I mean, not everybody can consistently think about legislation and regulatory implications and all these kinds of things.
No, that's my jam. That's what I do. I'm into politics. You do you. Everybody should do their own thing and excel at what they do best. And together we form that community and teach each other.
What other takes do you have? What do you think the crypto community could learn from your experiences, or what are your points of view that you bring to the table whenever you meet somebody and you basically engage with them?
It's funny you should say that expression. There's a particular phrase that it wasn't unique to us, but we found it very applicable to get people to get somewhat turned on to politics. And there's this expression: if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
You get eaten. Yeah,
and so you just simply got to show up to the table. You can't pretend that politics doesn't affect you. The number one lesson to learn about politics is it's actually easier than you think. All you have to do is sort of show up and be vaguely interested, and it can have worlds of difference. And it's not right to be demoralized, and it's not right to not even try.
Kurze Pause. Wenn dir diese Folge von Kryptoticker gefällt, dann drück selber mal schnell die Pause-Taste und lass uns eine Bewertung und ein Subscribe da. Das hilft uns als Podcast ziemlich, und wir freuen uns natürlich über jedes Feedback. Und wenn du nach der Folge noch mehr Insights und Infos brauchst, dann schau doch einfach mal auf kryptoticker.io nach. Dort findest du alles rund um Kryptowährungen, Web3, NFTs und viele mehr. Bereits seit 2015 kümmert sich das Team von Kryptoticker darum, Neulingen und Profis eine Heimat im Kryptospace zu bieten. Auf CryptoTicker.io findest du jeden Tag neue Artikel und Insights, prall gefüllt mit News, Tipps und Hintergrundinfos. Im CryptoTicker Discord kannst du dich mit Tausenden von Gleichgesinnten austauschen, Fragen stellen, Kontakte knüpfen und vieles mehr. Schau am besten gleich jetzt in die Shownotes, denn da findest du alle Links zu CryptoTicker und kannst direkt ein Teil der Community werden. Und jetzt weiterhin viel Spaß mit CryptoTicker, der Podcast.
Do you think that there's too many people that generally avoid getting into any sort of, not necessarily political discussions, but more of the regulatory topics because they feel like they're tiring and it could actually help the space if more people would get involved and, as you said, sit on that table?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, both from my experience and my research, from both the regulator side as well as the legislators, and I would argue also mainstream media, I mean, we've got all these fantastic use cases, and we talk about it with each other, and we know about it with each other, but we need to go forth and educate the world, and go forth and educate. I find quite often, particularly in the United States, post-FTX crash, you know, they're driving forward, and they're driving down the road, but they've got a big rearview mirror that they're looking into that's dominated by FTX and some of the other, not of course FTX, also Three Arrows Capital and some of the other unfortunate incidents. Last year was quite a year.
But what's your, you as you said it before, you get your mail delivered to Oakland, California, but I guess you also spent quite a few time, some time in the US still anyways, right?
Yeah.
The crypto crackdown that's happening at the moment, right? The legislatory or regulatory crackdown from the SEC, these kind of events. What's your... Well, perception, how does the public react to it or what might happen within the next months on that? Do you have any opinion?
I mean, already on the regulatory crackdown, you've seen some potential scale back of some of the enforcement actions that have been seen as they've started to hit the courts. Ultimately, courts function very differently than press releases. Courts have the ability to have a judge as well as a calm and rational and fact-based conversation. And so I from what my understanding is, at least with some of the Binance actions, there's been some skepticism met with the federal prosecutors on the part of some of the claims made. Legislative is, of course, distinct than enforcement or regulatory action. And some of the legislative action that I've seen is, unfortunately, it's not going great in Washington, D.C. There's a lot of conflict and a lot of inactivity in terms of any productive outcomes in Washington, D.C. Again, just to invoke FTX, remember, one third of members of Congress received campaign contributions from FTX. So
One third
is my understanding.
Okay.
And so, but however, we're also, we're many different states. I come from California, which I don't know if we're the fourth or the fifth largest economy now.
Something like that,
Also there's a high level of adopters as well as a lot of use cases, as well as creation of intellectual property, as well as Silicon Valley. But the other benefit of talking about our federal system is that we see our states as laboratories of democracy. So there's definitely going to be some states that are going to do it right and some states that are going to do it wrong. And so I'm happy to see that this is going forward, but again, you got to educate the legislators by showing up.
That's a super interesting statement that you see your states as
imperfect democracies.
Imperfect democracies, yeah, but also you have the chance to basically give some trial and error, whereas in the EU basically it's always, well, mostly it's tried, I think, to come up with a general solution that works for the whole of the EU. I mean, we are about to have MiCA implemented.
Yes.
I don't know what's the better approach, to have something that is valid for the whole of Europe or something that is tested out in a certain country. And then, I'm not really sure. What's your take on MiCA? Do you have an opinion on that?
Oh, yes. I love the fact that at least there's some clarity. That's, of course, why I'm here. I thought that blockchain provided some very great educational tracks from professional services providers, but also from operators that are looking at MiCA for the regulatory clarity. And I think obviously the common market and the ability to have passportability as you operate these businesses across a marketplace of diverse, again, those are also imperfect laboratories of democracy in the member
they
states.
They are true.
However, you know, I also see certain elements of MiCA that are not perfect, and so you know, it's an evolution, it's a process, lawmaking and policymaking. I think some of the stablecoin definitions are not great. I think also DeFi and NFTs obviously are not clearly treated under the law, as I understand it.
Okay. Thank you very much for your insights and your opinions, Sean. It's been a pleasure having you here. Enjoy the rest of blockchains. Enjoy also building up your company and your endeavors and traveling around Europe and the world. All the best. Thank you for being here.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Nice to meet you.
Bye.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wenn dir die Folge gefallen hat, dann lass uns gerne ein Like da, klick auf Abonnieren, mach eine Bewertung und schau auf jeden Fall auch mal auf unsere Social Media Kanäle sowie den Newsletter. Dort findest du immer alle News rund um Kryptoticker, der Podcast. Und jetzt einen schönen restlichen Tag, Abend oder Morgen und bis zum nächsten Mal.